Our first reading this morning comes from Psalm 138, verses 1 through 8. So listen for the word of God. I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I sing your praise. I bow down towards your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted your name and your word above everything. On the day I called, you answered me. You increased my strength of soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise you, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth. They shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly, but the haughty he perceives from far away. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve me against the wrath of my enemies. You stretch out your hand, and your right hand delivers me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. And our second reading comes from the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 11 for 13. So listen for the word of God again. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. The word of the Lord.
Good morning. When Mark first asked me about speaking today, I wasn't sure if any of you would be interested in what I had to say. But as I reflected on what I could say, I realized I had about an hour and a half, so settle in. I wanted to base today's message on the scripture lesson that Kim just read from Ephesians 11 and 12. I struggled a little bit with this scripture, though. I didn't like the wording, or I was uncomfortable with the wording of equipping the saints for the work of the service and for building up the body of Christ. So I started looking at other translations of the scripture, and I found that the New International Version's translation is to equip his people for the work of service, or the New Living Testament's translation, which is to equip God's people to do his work. So I'd like to focus on one of those two translations, and what I'd like to talk today about is the work of the laity and as we serve the church. And in Luke chapter 22, verse 27, Jesus poses the question, who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves? And he answers the question by saying, yet I am among you as one who serves. So he was saying that he was serving. As true followers of Jesus, we must also learn to serve others. Service is helping others who need assistance. Christ-like service grows out of love for the Savior and of love and concern for those whom he gives us opportunities and directions to help. So what's wrong with the church in our society today? Why are many denominations and churches declining? What is so lacking in spiritual vitality? There are many reasons that could be cited to explain why churches and even denominations plateau and decline. Perhaps there's a loss of visionary leadership. Many denominations were founded by visionary men. After these men passed from the scene, some denominations lost sight of their vision. They began to flounder and to fail. Perhaps the vision was replaced with an organizational structure. An organizational without a vision will eventually calcify and lose its flexibility to change and adapt. While the message never changes, the methods must change. Many denominations strike the rocks here. As a result, the church or the denomination begins to further isolate itself. And this isolation only continues at the rate at which decline happens. There are many more factors which could be cited to help explain the anemia of the church. But there's one major factor that's had devastating results in some churches. This enormous aberration is how the church has developed a laity and what that laity and how that laity functions. Somewhere in church history, we developed the notion that we have a clergy who is paid to do ministry and a laity who is paid, or who's not paid, but who is there to receive the ministry. The notion developed to the point that we're today, we have a clergy-laity dichotomy. What this means is there is a view that we have pastors paid to do the ministry and that the common folks in the pew pay them to do it. But this is not what the Bible teaches. So the question is, how did we drift so far from biblical teaching? What we need to do is to refocus on the biblical model for ministry. Where this has been done and where the biblical model has been tried, it has succeeded. We, the laity, need to take a more active, more proactive role in the church. How do we do that? We do it by equipping ourselves to minister. This is what the Bible teaches is the true role of God's people. The professional ministers are not paid to do all the work. The people of God, the laity, are also called to minister. So this raises the following questions. Why do churches need volunteers? Volunteers perform tasks that staff members do not have the time, capacity, or skills to accomplish. The volunteers use their time and talents for community service, fulfilling their desire to help others while ensuring that the local church can direct more of its funds to its mission programs. In short, volunteers are vital to a healthy church. And why is service so important in Christianity? The most important aspect of our Christian service is to do something, as Jesus would have done. Christian service is different than community service because our acts of service are done to mirror or to respect the life of Jesus and the love of God. Having said that, let me add that there are those gifted people that God has given to the church. Those gifted people that God has given us as leaders were given for a purpose. It's important to look at the people and their purpose. In Ephesians, the verse that Kim read, he said he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, and some as evangelists. The people who are considered in this verse are the people that God gifted to provide leadership to his church. They are God's gift to the church. We've already looked briefly at some of the gifts God gave to individuals. Here we come to the gifts of the resurrected Christ to his church. Among those gifted to the church are the apostles. That's the first group of gifted individuals. An apostle is one who is sent. In most of the places where this term occurs, it refers to the original 12 apostles, although there are other apostles mentioned in the New Testament. These were people of wide influence in the church, and their ministry was instrumental in the establishment of churches. Then we have the prophets. Those are the ones who foretold the word of God. The ministry of a prophet is foretelling the word of the Lord. The New Testament prophet speaks a new word to the church. The Bible teaches that the New Testament gift of prophecy is given for edification and comfort. Then we have evangelists. The evangelists are those who are anointed to preach with power to the lost. This is the special anointing on their lives that enables them to draw a net around lost people with keen effectiveness. In a more modern sense, pastors and teachers may be thought of as one gift. The Greek language suggests a linkage between the two words, thus establishing a leadership gift of pastor/teacher. There are good reasons for linking the two gifts. A pastor is one who shepherds the sheep. The Greek word for this is translated literally as shepherd and has a root meaning of to feed. While the image of a shepherd evokes many pictures, the chief job of a shepherd is to keep the sheep well fed. Well-fed sheep produce more wool. Well-fed sheep are contented sheep. Well-fed sheep are productive sheep. Well-fed sheep are healthy sheep. So the primary task of a pastor is to keep the sheep fed. So we have the gifted leaders to the church. Over the centuries, we have many gifted leaders who have made a tremendous impact. In the biblical times, we had the apostles. During the Reformation, we saw Martin Luther, John Calvin, John Knox, Felix Mainz. And later, on both sides of the Atlantic during the 17th and 18th centuries, we had people like Roger Williams, William Penn, John and Charles Wesley. Continuing into the 19th and 20th centuries, we had others including Billy Sunday, Billy Graham, and others. Thousands more have made the rich deposit of God's grace to his church. So going back to our scripture for today from Ephesians, the scripture reads, to equip God's people to do his work. Why has God given these leadership gifts to the church? He has given them to equip us, his people, the laity. And what should the laity be equipped to do? The laity should be equipped for the work of service. The word service is also translated as ministry. And what results from the laity being, what are the results of the laity being equipped for ministry? The effect is the building up of the body of the church, so that we see that the saints or the laity, you and me, are equipped so that we can minister, so that the body of Christ can be built up. That is the purpose for which God has given us and these leaders to the church. This is a dynamic truth. It means that everybody should be engaged in ministry. It's not the work of some hired holy man to do all the ministry. It is the work of all of us. Some people have the attitude that we pay a minister to do the ministry. By ministry, they mean that he should do everything. He should do all the visiting, the evangelism, the praying, the counseling, the administration. And if time permits, he should put together a little talk for Sunday morning. That's why we pay him. It should be no wonder then that many ministers are dropping out because of burnout. They're burned out because they simply cannot keep up with these expectations. So why would God put such unreasonable burden on one person? Why would he? Indeed, he didn't. He gave his ministry to all people, to all of us. And he gave the task of equipping the laity to do that ministry to his anointed and gifted leaders. You don't pay ministers to do all the ministry. In fact, the Bible teaches that a primary rationale for a person being supported full-time is their need to have a time to prepare to teach. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17, he says, elders with a gift of leadership should be considered worthy of respect and of adequate salary, particularly if they work hard at their preaching and teaching. The idea is that it takes time to prepare adequately for preaching and teaching. You can't just get a little talk up on Saturday night after you're exhausted from the week's work. In fact, the apostles in Acts 6 refused to get bogged down in the benevolent ministry of the church because it was taking them away from what they considered to be their chief priority. They said, quote, it is not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables. That's from Acts chapter 6, verse 2. The laity needs to assist in the ministry of the church. The laity needs to be prepared or equipped to represent Jesus on behalf of someone else. Only in this way will we be ministered to. No pastor or team of pastors can do the ministry which has been deigned for all of us to do. And here is the idea of the laity as the people who receive, and here is where the idea of the laity as people who receive ministry gets in the way. That laity definition must be eliminated. We must be turned into ministers. Only when the role of the laity is refocused can the church be the church. Somehow, something must change in the self-image of the people. People must begin to see themselves as a community of ministers. This does not mean that pastors and other leadership gifts are no longer necessary. They are necessary to equip the laity, the elders, the deacons, etc. But the laity, all of us, are the ministers. All of us need to be available to minister to others in the community of the church. We should minister in both practical and spiritual ways. We should spend time with one another, pray for one another, share Jesus with one another, encourage one another, and even admonish one another when necessary. When we deal with one another, we are to see ourselves as representatives of the Lord Jesus. And the pastor is not the only one that can do that. All of us can be instruments through whom his power flows. But that means we must start seeing ourselves as that representative. we must begin to function on the level of spiritual gifts by finding our gifts and using them. We must seek to be led by the Spirit to minister to people. And all of us must do it. The reason should be clear. There are times when we need ministry, and there are times when we need to minister. This is why God created the community that he calls the church. God insists on dealing with us as a community. He has chosen that through the church, we should grow to maturity. He could have dealt with us in isolation, but he chose not to do that. Indeed, God in his very nature is community. The Trinity speaks of the community of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so God has put us together with other believers that we might receive and give ministry, and that we might be nurtured into the image of Christ. And that's why God gave us gifted leadership, pastors and teachers. He gave us leadership to teach, preach, equip, and to equip the, and challenge the saints, the laity, you and me, to do what he has done. We at First Presbyterian should be proud of what we, the laity, have done and continue to do. Some of the examples of how we, the laity, are assisting with this ministry are, and in Rob's presentation, he mentioned Pike County. Some of our outreach programs, Pike County, the clothes closets that we take clothes to, the Blessings Box, the Christmas Mitten Drive, our work with Chris and the immigrant family, these are all outreaches that we, the laity of the church, have been instrumental in. We have individuals who work and serve as deacons, elders, and a lot of you would be amazed at how many committees we have in this church. I often tell people that nothing in a Presbyterian church gets done except by committee, which is very true. And there's a lot of behind-the-scenes people that take care of a lot of stuff that we all take for granted. Building operations and maintenance, coffee showing up on Sunday morning. We have a lot of laity that do a lot of work behind the scenes. Service is not something that you do. It's not a specific act of service, but it's a way of living. There is more to service than the actions that we do, but service must become part of our soul. It must become part of us. It is one thing to act like a servant. It's a completely different thing to be one. I think the same principle applies to Christianity. It's one thing to act like a Christian. It's another to actually be a Christian. So let us, the laity of this church, continue to assist the ministry of this church and the ministry of Jesus Christ. Let us, the laity of this church, continue to let service flow from our hearts and spill into our actions. Now, also on the subject of service, I want to mention that our pastor was actually ordained this week in 1986. So you guys can do the math yourselves. Somebody asked how long ago, but it was November 23rd, 1986. And in honor of Mark's ordination, there will be cake after the service out in the gathering room. Thank you.